Every smile hides a secret, and some of them are deadly. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreeke.
The murder of Maddie Soto is something that everyone is still looking for answers on as to how did this happen. I think it's pretty clear we know who did it. At least the allegations against Stephon Stearns are pretty ironclad, at the very least for the sexual abuse that occurred with him and Maddie, with the pictures that were found on the phone and shown to Jen Soto, and even the grandparents had heard about that as well, and not, I guess, super shocked by the depravity of their son. We're going to talk about all of that, and specifically Jen Soto, a new interview that has been released from an interrogation with police while they were in the midst of the investigation as to who did this to Maddie Soto. Joining me to discuss, Robin Dreeke, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. There's a lot to unpack here. It was interesting. Stephon's video was a little more brief. His interrogation, he was very calm, the same demeanor we've always seen in him of, okay, well, I just did this, I just did that. And then eventually they go, you know what we found on your phone? And they told him, and he's like, oh, okay. And eventually they strip him and take him away. But not that compelling, other than he just seemed to have no emotion. Jen Soto, the mom, that's a weird one. That's the mom who should have been protecting her daughter, who should have been aware, one would think, of what's going on in her home for all of these years. All the red flags are there. I don't even call them red flags in this case. It's like burning inferno of like, oh my God, something is wrong when your boyfriend is actively sleeping and grooming your child. And you admit that you know that that's happening, but you don't think that they're going that far. I mean, that's essentially what she has said thus far. Robin, what's been your reaction to that video? And we'll watch a clip in here in a moment.
It kind of keeps going back to what I've thought about her since the very beginning. I think she's witting, but I don't think she's acknowledging, if that makes sense. So when you look at this video, when I look at this video, the first thing that really struck me was how appropriate some of her behaviors are. Mm-hmm. You know, her rubbing her hands on her thighs like this, this is her. There's two reasons people do these kind of rhythmic motions. One is a pacifying thing when you're under great stress. And the other is we see it with people trying to simulate getting blood off their hands, getting grime off their hands. And so she starts really rubbing when the thought of her and Stephon, you know, sleeping with the same person. She said it was disgusting. She used the word disgusting. So there's an element of that. And then all of a sudden she hits this pragmatic side where she's talking very normally and she's very, very, very matter of fact. And so what struck me was these compartments. Mm-hmm. She's got extreme compartmentalization. So I did my typical thing as behaviors, like what would cause someone to be extremely compartmentalized? Well, long-term exposure and trauma. Yeah. And I think that she has been so groomed in her own life and conditioned in her own life prior to her relationship with him, because this doesn't go, so the evidence they have goes back to 2020. This wasn't his first rodeo. I don't think it's her first rodeo of dealing with this kind of person in her life and these kind of people in her life. I think, again, zero excuse for the behavior. This is about understanding the behavior. Mm-hmm. She still made every single choice to rationalize what she was seeing, and she made the choice to disassociate herself from it and compartmentalize it in her head because she didn't want to believe it. She even said it. I don't want to believe he killed her. Mm-hmm. Yep. I think this, again, let's go really simple here. She compartmentalized it. She disassociated with it, and she didn't want to believe it, and she created an entire fictional world to disassociate herself from it.
Was that a conscious choice she was making, though? Because I think some will argue in this case specifically, when you look at her, maybe she's had so much trauma that it's just like blackout almost. Like, okay, come put this in this compartment here, lock the door, close it, go over here, I can live my life this way. And she never goes back and revisits these drawers until somebody like the police come in and go, hey, we're opening up the deposit box. Guess what you've been storing? Because it seems like when they do in the video, she's just, I mean, she gets very genuinely emotional. And it's almost like, oh my gosh, like you're throwing water on the Wicked Witch and she's melting. And then she very quickly, as she's exposed to reality, fills that gap back up, and then suddenly it's kind of back at her denial state, where it feels to me like she could not possibly manage to live on a or in a world where all of this trauma is taking place around her, and she's enabling it, truly, but is she even aware that she's enabling it because of the excessive amount of trauma that she's been through in the grooming?
I don't think it's conscious on her part. I think it's part of her natural state of survival.
Yeah.
And again, always got a caveat when we start talking about, you know, terms mm-hmm. of art in here, not licensed clinician mm-hmm. whatsoever, you know, just a practitioner of human behavior.
Yeah.
I want to read some of the symptoms of dissociative disorder that we're kind of, I'm theorizing is being applicable to her here.
Sure.
Feeling disconnected from yourself, problems with handling intense emotions, sudden unexpected shifts in mood, depression or anxiety problems, or both, feeling as though the world is distorted and not real. And we've seen this with her because she's dissociating when she doesn't want to deal with it. And she's having very real emotional reactions to some of the truth bombs that are being dropped on her. But then she disassociates again and goes back to pragma. Let's just answer the question. So you're seeing this bipolar look at her with these two different personalities. I think from just watching her and from the very beginning of this, this is just who she is and who I think this is who she became after years of dealing with something. And I even looked up, you know, if there's any records of her being abused when she was younger. There aren't that I found.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised though. Her life arc has been a feeling of disenfranchised, of feeling less than, of needing love, of needing feeling connected, dad issues, parent, you know, all these kind of issues and traumas people generally associate with really abhorrent behavior. I think she's got them all because again, she allowed the worst of the worst to happen to her daughter. And I don't think she wanted I don't think she made the choice she wanted it to happen, but she allowed it to happen because she was so disassociated from it.
All right, true crime addicts, let's cut the crap. You're knee deep in the gory details of your favorite podcast when suddenly a commercial hits like a bad meal. Seriously? You deserve better. Upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, where you can binge without those annoying ads. Plus, get extended interviews that go deeper into the darkness and early access to episodes so you can be the first to know. It's like trading up from fast food to fine dining, but with more blood. So, go ahead. Search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and feast on the good stuff.